automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and today is a special day, as you know, Memorial Day weekend, where we honor all the people that kept us free, keep us free, and have sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice for the welfare and safety of the citizens of the United States. So to all of you that have served in the military in any fashion whatsoever, I want to extend my complete gratitude for you, to you, and especially those in the Vietnam War, because that was the war that ended 3 or 4 days before I was to be inducted. So I'm eternally grateful, but at the same time, there's a soft spot in my heart for Vietnam veterans. This portion of Unhooded is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have any kind of an issue with the transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality Transmission in Tempe would be happy to talk to you, take a test drive, explain things. They're willing to drive it, let you drive it. Whatever you need, they'll help you with. They do repairs on everything, automatics and standards. They have years of diagnosing and experience in repairs on cars and trucks and 4x4s and motorhomes. They're located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University, on McClintock, south of the 202, no matter where you live. They're truly worth the drive. This week, I'm giving you two for the price of one. Two Salem boys for the price of one. My son is sitting here next to me, and this is
a very special guest.
Very special guest. And this is kind of early for you to get up, isn't it?
No, I've been up for a while.
I couldn't help but just kind of dig you on that. Alan runs the performance side of our company. You tell them what you do. I don't know what you do.
We do all the aftermarket performance. We do a lot of repair, maintenance, primarily diesels, but a lot of other stuff, lifts, wheels, tires, suspension, that kind of stuff.
The Jeep that you just did, and I saw that Adam had the center cap of the spare.
Yep, center cap, yeah.
Of the spare that hangs off the back of the Jeep.
Correct.
He put a camera in the center cap?
Yeah, that thing had a really big blind spot that the customer wasn't real thrilled with, so we put a camera in there so we could see when he was backing up.
Okay, so you got the camera in the hub in the spare tire in the back of the Jeep.
Correct.
Now, you're going to wire it up to what?
It's to the factory head unit.
You can actually plug into that?
Yes.
And can you make it go where it's just reverse?
Yes, or we can make it go all the time.
Okay, so you're going to mount the camera. You got to run a wire all the way to the front. You got to grab a hold of the factory unit. And how did you set it up? How did he want it set up? Reverse only, or
he left it up to us, but its default is reverse only. And okay. There's a special button you can press twice within 1 second, and it will kick on all the time if you need to check on a trailer when you're driving or something like that.
Okay, all right. And the resolution, really good?
Really good. Yeah, night vision, really good.
And
wide, really wide.
I noticed that night vision.
Yeah.
Infrared night vision?
I don't think it's infrared. It's something else.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it's.
And so, what else did you do to the Jeep?
All kinds of stuff. Lots of stuff. We had it for, I don't know, close to a month. But we did, you know, lift and wheels and tires and some interior work. We did that audio video stuff with the cameras and front winch and rear bumper lights, winch.
It was brand new though, wasn't it?
Brand new.
Did he just like deliver it to you, brand new?
Yeah. Uh huh. It came to us with about 10 miles on it.
And what'd you do to the inside, though? You had all the door panels off of it, and you had the headliner and the seats.
Well, they're a little noisy for the roof. We took off the roof and did some insulation on the roof to make it a little quieter.
Okay.
Nothing with the door panels, just the roof.
Okay. And then did you put side steps on it?
Some rock sliders that are double the steps. Kind of a neat deal.
So if they hit the lower panels, rocker panels of the Jeep, they're going to hit the steps.
Yeah, they're a big stainless or a big big steel step that won't get damaged. They're designed for rock crawling and for the convenience of a step together.
Okay, and what about changing the rear end gears, front end gears? You put some big tires on that.
Yeah, we didn't do anything with it. We may end up doing something with it, but with that motor, it's now got a 6-speed in it, so it's it's a little bit better. It's not too bad. We're going to try it first how it is. We recalibrated all the tire sizing and stuff like that. So we're going to let him drive it for a month or two and then see what happens.
He can decide whether he has enough power or not.
Yep.
And what gear ratio did it come brand new with?
He ordered it with a 410.
Okay, and so if you're going to change it, go to 456, 488?
I don't know what the 6-speed. The last one we did was an old body style that we went to 513s. But I don't know if we'll go that tall. At least 488s, maybe 513s, just depending.
Okay.
Maybe higher, because it's got the 37-inch tires. I'm not sure. I haven't looked that far in advance.
So you have a software program that does that?
No, I have a guy that knows Jeeps that does that for me. I call him and I say, hey, Scott, I need to know what this is. He said, put these in. I said, okay.
Oh, God. I'm telling you what. Well, I've always been intrigued because you guys are redoing the tire sensors.
Yep.
You redo the speedometer?
Sometimes.
Okay.
That's a little bit more difficult.
Okay. All righty. Folks, I want to tell you, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I want to tell you a story today. I decided to go get two quads for my grandsons because both of them are the best boys in the whole world, and they've outgrown the little bitty ones that they have, so I decided I was going to start calling around, and I was asking for out-the-door prices. First, let me tell you why I do out-the-door prices. Because of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, of the 9 places I called, from Flagstaff to the north, to Sierra Vista to the south, to Kingman to the west, and to Sholo to the east. I mean, I covered that entire area. The reason why is that everybody has a different story, and they'll all tell you something. In the out-the-door price, I found document fees as much as $300 and as little as $50. I found freight fees in 50% of the bids, but not all of them. Then I found license plates fees from anywhere from $45 to $150. I'm bidding the same two units. The same two units. And then setup fees. That was interesting. Setup fees, half of them had it, half of them didn't. Here's the spread. The highest amount of money for the two quads was $9,044. $9,000. The lowest was in Sierra Vista for $7,100. Now, it don't take much in the math side to figure out that I'm saving $2,000. So do I want to drive down to Sierra Vista, which is 3 hours down and 3 hours back, to save $2,000? So I'm kind of looking at it from a point of view of, okay, how much, if I save, I'm going to be 6 hours, and so 6 hours into $2,000, you got your math going here?
300 bucks?
$300, yeah.
An
just
hour.
$300
an hour. Bucks an hour.
So $300 an hour I'm paying myself to drive down 3 hours to Sierra Vista, say hi, pay for them, and drive them back. And you know, that was worth it to me. I'll drive to Sierra Vista and back to save $2,000. But here's the numbers. So we're going to start at $7,100. Then $74, $75, $76, $77, $82, $82, $84, and $9,000. And it was an interesting thing. And I had one guy tell me, Mark, I'm going to charge you the bike. I'm going to charge you $50 license fee, and I'm going to charge you sales tax. But then when I asked him to break down his final number, he had dock fee of $300 and setup fee of $300. So there was $600 of pack in there, $600 worth of stupid money. And, of course, they all said, bring me your best deal, and I'll come down. And I said to all of them at the same time, you don't get a second shot at me. I don't have that much time to waste. Give me your best shot right now. So, anyway, that was just something I thought I'd pass on to you, because it's important to shop when you're talking those kinds of dollars, but what's really important is that at the end of the day you figure out what you spent. Now, I probably spent an hour and a half calling around, so I have to factor that in. So now we're at 7 times almost $2,100. We're still at $300 an hour. So I paid myself $300 an hour to shop this stupid group of motorcycles. All righty, 602-508-0960. Oil filters. Hey, what's a micron? Do you know what a micron is?
It's a small unit of measurement, but I don't know how small.
Okay, it's 1 millionth of a meter, which is 39 inches. They take it 39 inches and divide it into a million marks. Okay,
okay.
That's micron.
Okay.
All right. Tobacco smoke is half of a micron.
Okay.
Okay. Bacteria is 2. Your antiperspirant is 6. A red blood cell is 8. Is this stupid? And talcum powder is 10. So they say that the engine wear is caused by microns under 20. So under 20 is a white blood cell, one piece of talcum powder, one red blood cell, one piece of your antiperspirant. Bacteria is 2 microns, and tobacco smoke is a half a micron. All right, you got it in your head now?
Mm-hmm.
A human hair is 70 microns. So that's 3 times what causes your damage. So they say if a human hair was metal, it would cause some damage to your motor. Blah, blah, blah.
2 minutes.
Oil filters. They're rated in a percentage of how much gets through and how much it stops. You wouldn't want an oil filter to let 90% of the stuff through and catch one. You want it kind of the other way around. You want it to catch all the bad stuff, and only one of the bad stuff gets through, and it'll catch it the next time around. So that's called the efficiency rating. Everybody has a problem with efficiency rating, but it's really easy because there's only 2 things that are in comparison. Okay, the cheapest oil filter I could find was 90% at 20 microns. What that means is that it will filter 9 of 10 particles of 20 microns.
Or less.
Or less. 9, but it's at 90%, it's 9 of 10 particles.
Right.
It will filter out. So one bad particle will get through out of 20. Now here's from that's the cheapest filter I could find. Then there was Plus Parts Plus, which was 90% at 20 microns. And then Fram was 95% at 20 microns. And the difference between the Fram filter and the 2 cheaper filters was like $2. Then you got Wix at 95%, and then you've got AC Delco at 98%, and then you got Napa at 98%, and then you got AMSOIL at 99. AMSOIL's 99% at 20 microns. So that means, one, it'll get 499 out of 500. Okay? All right. You know what? The one particle we're talking about here is 20 microns. 20 microns. The AMSOIL, it'll hold 21 grams of particulate matter, and a tablespoon is a half an ounce. So the 21 grams is 3/4 of an ounce. It'll hold 3/4 of an ounce, which is 3/4 of a tablespoon of dirt.
Okay.
Or for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 miles. When we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the stuff. 602-508-0960.
Fine.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. My partner today is Alan Salem, and we're here answering your car questions. If you'd like to join us, you can at 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood, it's brought to you by a really, really good friend of mine, and it's Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Larry Harker's has been in the Valley since 1967. Bob and Ellen Frisbee is who you will meet when you get there. They've owned and operated Larry Harker since 1989, and their technicians have been with them for lots of years. They're a trusted source for quality repairs. They have affordable prices, and they're in the Phoenix area, 38th Avenue and Indian School Road. 38th Avenue, Indian School Road. And I trust me when I tell you, Bob and Ellen, they know how to treat people right, they know how to fix cars, and they are a good husband and wife team. Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. All right, I'm going to recap the oil filters real quick.
Okay.
Microns. They say that anything above 20 microns could be damaging to your engine. Everybody agrees to that, no matter what filter they are. So things that are smaller than 20 microns is a white blood cell, talcum powder, red blood cell, antiperspirant, bacteria, and tobacco smoke is a half a micron. Okay, those are the things that give you a human hair is 70 microns. So that's the big end because you can see that baby, but on the other end you can't see a white blood cell without a microscope. Okay, so that's microns. So that's the rating. Then they give you a percentage of how well you filter out the bad stuff. At 50%, you're getting kind of half the bad stuff. At 99%. You're getting all of it. But it doesn't mean 50% doesn't mean it's going to go into your engine. It means it's going to go through the filter once, and it may not catch everything, but the next time it will.
Right.
Okay? All right. We talked about brand names. The cheapest oil filters are 90% at 20 microns. So 90% efficient at 20 microns. Now, if 20 microns and bigger causes engine damage, why would you want a filter that actually starts at 25 microns or 30 microns or 40 microns? What sense does that make?
Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, one of them starts off at 25, a name brand, and the bigger name brand starts off at 35. So if 20 hurts you, why would you take one of those? Then you talk about some of the premium oil filters. I mean, we're talking $12-15 a piece instead of $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. Okay, you've got a couple of them that are at 99.9 at 20 microns. You can't get any better than that. That's almost absolute. Gets every single one of them.
Right.
Mobil 1 wouldn't tell us about their premium filter. Motocraft wouldn't tell us about their premium filter.
Caller Blaine.
And Fram ExtraGuard wouldn't tell us about their, and we couldn't find it anywhere. But let me tell you about the dirt that they hold. The premium oil filters, AMSOIL, holds 3/4 ounce, and a tablespoon is 1/2 ounce. So it's a little bit more than a tablespoon of dirt after 3, 4, 5, 10,000 miles. Mobil 1 holds 18 grams, which is just a tad bigger than a tablespoon, and Purelator 1 holds exactly 1/2 ounce. You have no idea how small that is in the pleated paper arena because of the filter's pleated paper all the way through. So from $35 down to the $2 filter, it gets down to, you look at the cheap guys, and the cheap guys for $2, $3, $4 are 90% and 95% out of 20 microns. That's perfect. That's all you need. This was a real eye-opener for me. Now, if anybody wants a copy of this, send me an email to mark@marksalem.com, and I will send you a 3-page document that we put together, and it'll show you exactly what I'm talking about. But GM did a study, everybody agrees, that engine life could be increased 2.7 times, if we go to 10 microns. Now, 2 times 150,000-mile motor is 2 times that, 300,000. Who cares? Who cares? And not to mention that when you talk about GM, GM is one of those guys that measures at 35 microns. What the heck is that?
So I have 2 questions for you then.
Go, I'm ready.
What happens when an oil filter gets more than the gram, or what happens when it gets full?
It bypasses, and there's a valve there that says the oil going into the filter is tremendous, 80 pounds of pressure, and coming out is 2 pounds. So the filter's plugged, right?
Right.
Got that?
Right.
Okay, at that point, bypasses. And so you got that 80 drops to 40, and you got 40 in, and so if it's bypassing, what do you got going out?
40.
Exactly.
Right.
40 in, 40 out, we're bypassing.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Big Shot. Does your oil filter filter oil first thing in the morning?
I believe it does not.
It does not. Because the pressure in and out is different because our oil is like molasses,
right,
especially on a cold morning. So we have oil coming in at 80 and going out at 20, and it doesn't like that. So, and the pressure PSI is about 10 to 15 pounds. So if there's 10 to 15 pounds of difference, we're going to bypass. So in the morning, the first maybe minute and a half, you're not getting filtered oil. You're just getting whatever trash it's got in the system. But then the oil filter will loosen up and start doing it.
All right, and then I got one other. We had some salesmen in here the other day that were trying to sell us an oil filter. They brought up something that sounds good on paper, but I don't know the validity of it. They said if you filter down small enough, you're actually filtering out the mineral pack that's put in the oil at the thing. If a batch of oil is added mineral packs, how big are the minerals, the zinc, and the stuff that's put in to make the oil last? How does that compare to the 20 microns? Is that possible to be filtered out?
No. But first of all, everything that's put into motor oil is put in as a liquid form.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. I've never heard of minerals in a
mineral pack?
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
And don't forget, you're talking to the Valvoline Western District trainer, buddy. I've never heard of that. They have Mother Nature oil. Takes, and that's 2 different weights that take care of 80% of a quart of oil, and 20% is anti-corrosions, anti-rust, anti-foam, a little zinc to keep the camshaft straight.
Isn't that mineral?
Okay. No. And besides that, oil by itself doesn't cause the damage. It's the dirt that's created by the combustion process. You should have had me take care of that customer. Did you buy anything from him?
No.
Okay, Jeremy, who we got first, buddy?
We got Blaine up.
Blaine, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 1999 GMC Safari.
Okay.
And I'm having problems with the AC selection knob.
Okay.
I've got cold air, but I can't get the air to come out of the dashports. It's always up in the windshield.
Piece of cake. There is a vacuum line that comes off of your motor that goes to the firewall, goes inside the firewall, and goes to the mode switch. The mode switch is the thing that determines high, low, middle. Okay, because high is defrost, middle is vent, and floor is the bottom. That vacuum line oftentimes comes off, and you don't notice it because it's a really small vacuum line. Or it gets burnt in half or something. So the first thing you want to do is find the small vacuum line that goes from the firewall to somewhere on the motor and make sure it's intact. It may even go through a ball. It's kind of a storage pod for vacuum. If that's not it, it's a $9 piece of equipment, but you got to dig it out of the dash. So your worst case scenario is probably less than $200, but somebody's got to take the dash apart and replace the mode switch. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be the mode switch. It could be that the blend door, this door that's supposed to give you defrost, center vent, and floor, it could be that, but we're still going to have to go into the dash. So I got to tell you, though, 50% of the cars, especially in the year you're talking about, something that's 13, 14 years old, 50% of them, that vacuum line is the problem.
Okay.
All righty?
Because the garage said he's looking at 4 hours labor.
To do what?
To get underneath the dash. That's all that's got to come down to check where the doors are.
No, you don't need. You already know where the doors are at because it's blown through the center. It's blown up high. You already know where the doors at. That you have to pull the switch out to see if you can vacuumize. That's a stupid word. And I'm up against a break. So, Blake, you stay there, and the rest of you stay there. I'll get to you right after this break. I'm Mark Salem. This is 602-508-0960. That's 960 The Patriot, KKNT. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Blaine, stay there. Dennis, Bob, and David, you stay right there. This portion of On the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. Tom, the owner of Action Auto, is the kind of guy that, although he's married, he's the kind of guy you look at, and if you have an older daughter, you say, God, he'd be a good guy to bring home. He's that kind of a guy. He is such a nice, pleasant young man. He is honest and dependable. He'll sit there and smile until he kills you with a smile. And he's one heck of a fisherman. They're up at Deer Valley Road, I-17 in Deer Valley. They've been there since 1983. Family-owned business, accurate repairs, good pricing. They use factory-recommended intervals, which means they don't make up their own. All their technicians are ASC certified, and there's two or three that are master certified, and they know how to get the job done right. And he has an A-plus at the Better Business Bureau. So Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley. Blaine.
Yes.
50% of the time that hose is bad. I'm just rough figures. This is 30 years of experience because that hose and that mode switch goes all the way back to the 70s. So it's not something we just saw yesterday.
Okay.
The mode switch itself, probably another 30-35% of the time. And Coca-Cola, a pair of dirty underwear, or a bunch of tissue blocking the blend door would take the rest of the 20%.
Okay.
So the odds here, what's a shame is, and have you dealt with this garage before?
Yes.
Okay, and they've been very trustworthy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would just say to him, are you sure? And then it's worth this kind of a call. You call somebody else up and say, hey, 99 Safari, look up a 99 Safari, you got a 4.3. Give me the blend door activator.
Blend door, okay.
Yeah, blend door activator. And there's a vacuum pod that opens and closes the blend door. Think of this system as a Y. I want you to picture a Y. Okay, so you got the two verticals that come down to the center stalk and then go down. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have cold air coming in on the left and warm air coming in on the right. And that door will either shut off the cold air and give us warm air, or shut off the warm air and give us cold air, or it'll go in the middle. Downstream from that, we Y off again to top, middle, and bottom. And that's another door that sends it top, middle, and bottom. So just make sure everybody else is going to bid the labor on that at about $400 to $420, and then I would say that you got a good shop.
Okay, because it was intermittent there for a while. I had air coming out the dashboard, but now it always goes up to the windshield, and it's kind of hard to cool the windshield.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You're right about that. All right, Blaine, thank you very much.
A while back, I called you about a gearbox problem I had.
Uh-huh.
I had a high whistle to it, and I had to turn 10, 12 degrees before anything happened to my wheels.
Uh-huh.
Well, I took it back and I fixed it. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, well, good. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All righty, Dennis, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
How you doing?
Good, good.
My wife has a 2001 Escape, and the air conditioner works fine around town, but once she gets on the freeway, it just blows out hot air.
Well, that's
that.
Well, typically wives just have that problem.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that starts with, you know, Dennis, there's a joke coming, but I just don't know if I can say it.
I'll go right ahead.
No, because I'm the one that gets fired, not you. Tell Hallery.
Yeah.
Here's what we need to know. If it stops going altogether, then this is what typically happens. The women get cold, so they turn the fan speed down to 1. And when they turn the fan speed down to 1, then underneath the dash on the passenger side, the evaporator turns to an ice cube. And it's literally full of ice.
2 minutes?
When that happens, the compressor shuts off. And we go into a defrost mode. So tell her to try it this way. When she gets on the freeway, I want her to go up to at least to 3 or 4 on the speed. Have her use the windows to control the temperature. So if she gets too cold, drop a window. Okay, if the air conditioning continues to work good, then grab her by the hand, give her a big hug, and say, honey, keep it off of 1 and 2 on the highway, because you're freezing the unit up, and I'll bet, if she'll admit it, I'll bet that every time she parks that thing, and she comes back, she's got a big puddle of water underneath it, because we're defrosting this ice cube they're creating.
No, that's not the case. She keeps it up. Cranked up, you know, to max all the time.
Okay, then the other thing, well, when you're going fast on the freeway, the max airflow, the fans don't have anything to do with air across the evaporator or the condenser. So the only other thing would be is that she's low on refrigerant, and when she starts going faster, the low side's dropping below 20 pounds, which typically shuts it off. If that were the case, a good garage would bypass the low pressure switch, and Hallery would say, oh, everything's fine. And then we'd say, okay, we need to adjust your refrigeration level. That's what I'd do.
Oh, okay.
And tell her if she lets us tease her some more, she can stop by and I'll help her with that.
Okay, I'll tell her that.
Okay, buddy, thank you.
Bye.
All right, bye, Dennis. Bob, you're up next, buddy. You know what, Bob? I'm going to put you on hold because I'm up against a break, but you're going to be first and David's going to be second. And then after that, 602-508-0960. You can be there too as well. 602-508-0960. Mark and Alan Salem at your service right here on 960 The Patriot. KKNT 602-508-0960.
Most Friday.
Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Mark Salem, Alan Salem here at your service. We can talk about cars, diesels, and trucks. We can talk about lift kits and tires and wheels and air horns. Ooh, my favorite subject is air horns. How old is the average guy that buys air horns from you?
Oh, I don't know, 40 or 50 maybe.
All right, it's triple chrome air horns.
Black, but yeah.
Okay, black. They're chrome or black?
Black.
Okay, they're black, triple.
Yeah.
They're from a Union Pacific locomotive, and you put a compressor in there, and you always have a, what do they call that, just an extra female...
Air fitting.
Air fitting,
yep.
So that they can hook an air hose, and they can air up their own tires.
Yep.
All right, and how much air are you pushing through those horns?
About 200 pounds.
200 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, do most of them have you wired in on the center?
No, we usually wire a separate switch.
Separate switch,
yeah.
For it? Okay. All righty. That's what I'm talking. I have that on my own truck, and as you know, I have a lot of fun with it. Okay, Bob, how can
we
help
you?
Go ahead, let's talk again and give me your symptoms one more time.
Morning, guys.
Yes.
Hi. Hey, I want to ask Alan, does he install many dual oil filter bypass systems on diesel pickups?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever done one. I there's people that try to sell them to me. I've never really gotten into it, and one of the main reasons was I can't tell you for sure if they work. There's people that swear by them. There's people that don't swear by them. I don't have enough demand to educate myself if they work or not. I'm familiar with what you're talking about, most likely the FS2000 system, but we don't put them in very often at all.
Hey, Bob, if you know about those, ask them what their efficiency rate is in a percentage and ask them what their micron is. So they'll say something like 95% at 20 microns, or they may say 99% at 20 microns, or 30 microns, or 40 microns.
Yeah, they sell them as like you earn back the cost over like maybe 200,000 miles because you change oil less. You're just changing the filters and topping off the oil. You know, like the big rigs, because a lot of the big rig guys do it, but they're holding like, what, 25 quarts of oil or something?
Oh, it could easily be 4, 5, 6 gallons times. Yeah, of course, that's times four, but you're right. You're right. It's not fair to compare anything to the big rigs, because first of all, the new Detroit motor on the big rigs, I think it's guaranteed for 1,000,000 miles. 1,000,000 miles. But the big rigs are like a horse. They run at a certain speed with a certain load their entire life. And with the exception of a bad habit of letting them idle sometimes, really and truly, they don't do any city driving. And if they do 1,000,000 miles, they do 950,000 of that. It's 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. So, and then oil wears out because the additive package wears out. And there's nothing you can do to put the additive package back in. So the idea that we're going to clean your oil so clean that you don't need anything, sooner or later, you're going to need an anti-foam agent. Sooner or later, you're going to need something to take care of the corrosion. Sooner or later, you're going to have something that's going to help get the water out and boil the water out of the engine oil. So that's what I have against those dual oil filter things. I just don't see a benefit. And how many people do you know that keep their cars to 200,000 miles anyway?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
But thank you very much. That's an interesting question. Thank you, Bob. All righty. David, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
I had a couple questions on my 1977 Chevelle. I do the 3,000-mile oil change intervals, and it seems that the oil filters, after I get about a couple thousand miles, they start to leak. And it's just a real little leak, but from new to about that point, they don't leak. So I can never, and it does it every time I change the oil. I always get this little penny leak.
Okay, what motor you got in that Chevelle? 350?
350.
Okay, so you're loading it on the driver's side near the back of the motor, and you're cleaning up you take a rag and wipe off the oil, the flat area inside the oil filter housing to make sure it's clean, right?
Yes, and I even, before I put the new filter, I'll lubricate the O-ring seal with oil, and now I don't cinch it down tight, but just tight enough to where, obviously, I don't get a leak. And
okay.
It just happens all the time.
All right, now, the oil leak, you can see the stain of the oil starting at the top of the filter and coming down the side and then dripping off the bottom, right?
Yes.
And there's nothing above it that's leaking, so we know for sure that the gasket is leaking.
Yeah, nothing. It just seems to come from that.
You're just not getting it on tight enough.
Mm.
This is what I want you to do. Have you ever had a tough time getting an oil filter off?
Yes.
Once or every time?
Only if I had somebody else do it. It seems like they just cinch it on like with 100 pounds of pressure, and it's always so hard to get off.
Right.
That's why I do it myself.
Okay.
Have you tried a different brand of oil filter?
Yeah, I had the Frams, and I kept doing it, and I tried, and I went to Wix, and even with Wix, I got to change it about another 1,000 miles or a little under, and I'm getting the same thing. So maybe it's just I don't have it real cinched in enough.
Well, it's not really real cinched in. If you wiped, let's say you waited till you got the filter leak, and then you wiped off the can, and you put another quarter turn on it. If you put another quarter turn on it, what would happen then? Have you tried that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I want you to try that, because I think you're not putting them on tight enough.
Okay.
I want you to put it on. When you put it on, when you contact the gasket, if you look at the oil filter, it's going to tell you a quarter turn, a half turn after contact, after gasket contact. So I want you to try it at a quarter turn or go to a half a turn. You're going to have to use your wrench to do that last quarter or that half. Or go back and do it the way you did. And as soon as you've seen the oil filter leak, I want you to crawl underneath there, wipe off the oil filter can, get it good and clean, and put another quarter turn on that filter, tight, righty-tighty. And then I'll bet you it stops leaking. And if that's the case, then it's just, you're a quarter turn away from being right.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, actually, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
Now, you have a General Motors vehicle.
I have lots. I have a Ford, too. I bought a Ford the other day.
Oh, okay. I'm a General Motors person, too, and I have a 12 Camaro.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know what they call these new transmissions. They're like Temrix or something. They have a different name for them.
Yeah, do you have the paddle shifts behind the steering
wheel? Yeah, I have a paddle shift, but I keep... I don't know if this is true or not. Is there issues with that six-speed, or is it just people that don't know how to use them or whatever? I don't know. I don't seem to have a problem with mine, but it's only got 13,000 miles on it.
Okay.
But people say they have issues with that transmission.
That's not true. Here's the issue that the last three people have told me issue. When you're driving down the freeway at 60 miles an hour, does it feel like it misses sometimes or it's going up and down in a gear?
On the highway, honestly, I can't tell because I'm always in the throttle.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But if you go to cruise control at 65, 70 miles an hour, it's going to miss. It's going to feel like a miss, or it'll feel like it's going 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 6, 5, 5, 5, 6, 6, 6. But you have cylinder select in that car. And cylinder select is going to drop off half those cylinders. That car is capable of 28 miles to the gallon from here to California because I drove mine. So the problem is everybody mistakes what's going on. Here's the beauty of the paddle shift. The paddle shift is cool because of this reason. The computer will not let you harm that transmission or that engine. I don't care how bad you are. I don't care what you're going to do. When you get to a certain point, it's going to start shutting off the fuel on that motor because it's not going to let you take it into the red zone in second gear. But it also elongates the shift, and you take it up to the area you think you want to go and then go a little bit faster and it won't let you. It starts shutting off fuel and then you go, okay, I'll shift here. And you push the button and you go to third. But I want to tell you something. I am not of the opinion that it's a transmission problem. I'm of the opinion that new technology is fooling many of the people that are driving this car and they're mistaken in the idea that this transmission is defective or bad. First of all, it isn't. Second of all, I think there's too many other things that can cause symptoms that make them think the transmission. The air conditioning is so doggone good on those new Camaros that we shut off the compressor on and off, on and off, off and off, and they think it's an engine miss. So that's kind of what I think. Hey, your 2010 has got a blower on it?
My 12.
Oh, your 12?
Yeah. It has a what on it?
A blower? Does it have a supercharger?
No, I just have the 6.2, the 400 with the automatic in it.
Okay.
But I do want to, on that miles per gallon,
uh-huh.
We have taken that car to California, and it's a good riding vehicle. It's comfortable, and I've got about 25 on it with that big V8. It's a good, but not much a city. But on the highway, we've been kind of impressed with the way it handles on the freeway and the fuel economy again.
Yep. No, you're right. And my Camaro is a 2010 with a blower on it.
Mm.
And one of these days when you're in Tempe, come on over with yours.
Okay.
And I'll let you drive mine. You can take it out for 20, 30 minutes. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite a difference. But that's still a big block stump pulling motor that you have underneath the hood, because that's what I have, right, Alan?
Yes.
6.2, we both have 6.2s.
Correct.
So that's still a big stump pulling motor, but when you add 5 pounds of boost to it from a supercharger, you can't imagine the difference.
I'm waiting for the Z28. I hear good things about that, too, that they're coming out with.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'd like to kind of just see what that does, too.
What color's your Camaro?
It's, I call it Tsunami Red, because it's that jewel tint or something,
yeah.
I guess, that they made in China or something,
yeah.
And when that tsunami hit, that was like the only year they could get that color or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, has it got stripes on it? Is it an SS?
It's an SS, and actually I ordered stripes, so I'm getting ready to put those on when they come in.
Okay, all right. Yeah, ours is orange with black stripes,
mm-hmm.
But it's got the orange leather inserts on the seats with black edges.
It's the RS package.
Oh, it's the RS package. It's really nice. But anyway, I got to go to Bill, but thank you very much, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Have a good Memorial weekend.
Same to you. Thank you. Bill, you're up. Buddy, how can I help you?
My wife wants to get a hybrid. I don't like the idea, but they have these constant velocity transmissions, and we do a lot of driving in the mountains. And I'm just wondering, I'm told that you can't use engine braking going down a mountain. There's no way to downshift because it doesn't have gears. Is that true?
That's true.
So how are you supposed to get down a mountain without riding your brakes?
Well, there's a lot of people that drive automatics that you know, don't have or don't use the ability to downshift. It's just a matter of changing your driving style just a little bit. Now, on a lot of the hybrids, we're going to use the downhill motion to charge the batteries. So you're going to be running a big alternator during that period of time, and we're going to be pumping electricity back into your battery pack.
Well, it's still not the same kind of braking. I mean, I can go down most mountains without ever touching the brakes just by putting in the correct gear.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And it's not like it's a free fall motion. There's going to be some resistance on there. I mean, those CVTs, we have them in all of our quads. Uh-huh. That's kind of the new thing with quads. And it's not a free fall. It's not just kind of a freewheel motion. There is some resistance there that's going to allow you to. I don't know that it will necessarily slow you down, but it's not like you're going to be accelerating.
But there's other reasons. Let's change the question. Do you mind?
No, go ahead.
This question is Mark, would you buy a hybrid? And the answer is, I wouldn't buy a hybrid for love nor money. I'm a green guy. I'm a cowboy that's won all kinds of environmental awards. But I got to tell you something. Technology is rampant. Last year, all the hybrids were Windows 95. And this year, they're all Windows 8. And next year, they're going to be all Windows 42. The technology is running rampant. The car has no resale value. Nobody wants a used hybrid with 50, 70, 80, 90,000 miles on it. So I'm all for green. But, you know, if you want to get 28 miles a gallon, go buy a Camaro.
Well, I'd like her to get a Mazda 3 because those things are great running cars, but they're not a hybrid, and you still get great mileage. I think that they've got this special, I forget, the Sky Active technology. We can get 40 miles to a gallon on the highway.
No, you're right. How many years you've been married?
42.
Oh, see, I can't give you any advice. I've been married 40 years, but I want to tell you something. I lose this argument every time. You're asking the wrong guy. I finally just say, honey, buy what the hell you want to buy.
Well, I'm trying to talk her out of the hybrid, but I'm not real successful.
Well, if history is any kind of a lesson, you probably won't be either.
Well, I have to agree with you on that one.
All right, well, good luck. And I agree with your Mazda 3, if anybody asks you. I agree with your Mazda 3. I like the Mazda line. It's half Ford, but I like the Mazda line.
Well, I don't think it's Ford anymore.
Well, I know, but there's some parts that are interchangeable because they're cousin cars.
Yeah, but it's a great driving car, the Mazda 3.
It is. All right, Bill, thank you very much,
buddy.
All righty. Well, we don't have much time for any other callers, but the lines are wide open right now, 602-508-0960. We're going to take a quick break, about 6 minutes, and then we're coming right back. And if you've got car questions, we're here to answer them. Alan handles diesels and everything to do with diesels. They drive, how they start, smoke, black, white, injectors, fickums for you Fords, all that stuff. So if you want to join us, 602-508-0960.
Automotive Mayhem with the real car guy, Master Technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Co-host is Alan Salem, my son. And we're here at your service every Saturday from 10 to 12. We're here talking about cars. You're welcome to join us. We want to send you to our website, marksalem.com. We have lots of information, lots of FAQs, and we also have a list of the very best car repair shops in the valley. Car repair, transmission, paint and body, tires, and diesel. So it's helpful to know that I'm guaranteeing your satisfaction with my money. So it says right on there that I have $5,000 to guarantee it. There's a process. You have to go to the Better Business Bureau, file a complaint. The Better Business Bureau sends it to arbitration. And if the arbitrator tells the shop to either make a refund or do a repair, and the shop refuses, then I will up to $5,000 for a repair or up to $5,000 on a refund. And that's truly putting your money where your mouth is. Let's go to John real quick and get John and Ron out of here. John, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hey, Mark, I was half asleep when you were rattling off those oil filters, and I just totally missed what I was looking for was the name of a brand that's the best bargain as far as, you know, a reasonable price for a really good filter.
I got to tell you that I couldn't find any filter of any brand at a low price that dropped below 90% at 20 microns. And I got to tell you that that's what General Motors said in their test when they ran the test, and they said we can increase the life of your motor 2.7 times, almost 3 times, if you go to 10 microns. And my response to that test is okay, that's okay. The problem with that is nobody keeps their car 2, 3, 4, 500,000 miles. So what do I care? So in your particular case, parts plus, the guard filter, the Fram was a little expensive. AC Delco was a little expensive. Napa and AMSOIL, those were the expensive ones. But really and truly, anything, the minimum, I can tell you this much, I'm sure that the minimum standard is 90% at 20 microns, and I wouldn't have any problem with that putting it on my quads or putting it on my truck or putting it on my wife's car. I wouldn't have any problem at all. So I don't think you, I think you shop price, and I don't think you shop anything but price, because I think the minimum standard they're all built to is 90% at 20 microns. All righty.
You can't get hurt no matter what you do. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm thinking that they're all built around a minimum standard, just like fan belts are, just like tires are, just like coolant is. Everything's built to a minimum standard. They want you to believe that our oil filter is better, but in reality, when you look at the specifications, you'll find it's different, that nothing's different. So if you want to spend a lot of money, you can go up to 99.8%, from 90 to 99.8%. Both of them are 20 microns, and you can spend an extra $12.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. John, you're up next. How are you today?
It's Ron.
Oh, you, Ron, I'm sorry. Ron, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, I have an 06 GMC diesel, 3/4 ton. And I bought it with about 49,000 miles on it, and I've got 90 on it right now. And as far as I know, it's never really had a good servicing. I mean, I've changed the oil, and I've had to buy some tires. But I'm getting ready to take a trip, and I'm going to go into California and up to San Luis Obispo to visit my daughter and my grandkids. And do you have a, like a, do you go, would you take somebody and just say, okay, this is what we need to do to look for, you know, radiator, flush it out, hoses, shocks, you know, front end. Do you do that kind of work?
How would you do it, Alan? And we're going to talk in generalities here, okay?
Yeah, because
we know a lot of shops. Alan, so he brings it in. He's got 90K, first-time customer. What are you going to do?
I'm gonna put eyeballs on everything, basically. I'm going to – mileage, I don't know, is not the most important thing to me. It's more of the condition of the fluid. If I pull that training fluid and it's pink – and it smells good, I'm not gonna recommend it. I'd like to see a general maintenance history on it. If the coolant's never been changed at 90, I would certainly do that. Okay. They say 100,000. I would not. We wouldn't go that far. Fuel filters, extremely important on those things. I don't know what the actual spec is. I know we recommend no more than 15,000 miles. Those Duramaxes need fuel. Differentials, we typically, unless there's an extreme circumstance, we'll usually follow the guidelines. I want to say they're 75 or 80,000 on the diffs.
You know what though, and Ron, most of this information is in your owner's manual. But I'm going to follow up with what Alan said. A lot of this stuff is going to be dictated. It may be in your owner's manual on your 06 that they wanted a differential and a transfer case, both differentials and a transfer case, new fluid at 15,000, and then at 100. So if you skip the 15, we got to get the 15. We'd like to see all the maintenance records on the car, if there is any. Now, the fuel filter is going to be one, but I'm also concerned you got 5, 6, 7 years on the belts and the hoses.
Right.
And you're going to be running down the freeway, and are you going to be pulling anything?
No. Okay. No, I'm not.
All right. If you're going to be going and you're going to leave after the end of the summer and the weather's nice, then I say, okay, if you want to chance it with hoses and belts, that's fine. But if you're going to leave July 1st
I'd
put hoses and belts on it.
Okay.
I'll tell you something. You at 90K, is crazy as it sounds, we very seldom see these things with hoses at 90. These new trucks, yours has got
just 90.
Never done hoses or belt on his. Brakes is another thing. We had a customer in here the other day with 200,000 on the original brakes. It's the most amazing thing you ever seen. It's pretty easy to tell, but it's the belts and hoses on those things aren't real common. We see well into 100,000 with original belts, but I mean, it's definitely worth taking a look at.
Yeah, okay, great.
And you, something else is risk and reward, okay? Because if you pop a hose, you're stuck. It's going to ruin your day. It's going to, and if your wife's with you, it's going to ruin her day. So, and then if you take the old hoses off, upper and lower, and a couple heater hoses, why not just keep the old hoses? That way, if something happens, you got a spare right there. So all you need is a screwdriver and a little bit of water.
Yeah.
It's the your owner's manual. What I would want you to do is no matter where you go, take your owner's manual and go to 90K or 100 and start checking off or highlight the things that you have never touched that have are due. It's certainly going to be fluids and filters. There's no question about fluids and filters. Transmission, power steering, brake fluid, front diff, rear diff, transfer case, transmission. Those are the big fluids.
Okay.
And then after that, you know, how many spark plugs? And after that, then it's really belts and hoses, and that's it. That's really it. Okay?
Yeah, I'm one to always make sure, you know, because, you know, breaking down in the middle of the desert is something I want to avoid. You know, your chances of that happening do diminish when you take good care of your truck, and I'm kind of like that. I want to really try to take good care of it and not get broke down. So,
but I want to remind you something. If you change the oil in your truck at 1,000 miles, every 1,000 miles for 90,000 miles, your alternator is still going to fail. Your motor's not going to love you. It doesn't have a brain, and it doesn't keep tracks of favors. So that hose is sitting out there, and you got to figure that there's going to be one diabolical son of a gun of everything underneath that hood that's going to say, I'm going to make him pay. And that happens. So, you know, I just want to remind you that they don't love you more. You're still going to have a water pump failure. You're still going to have all the stuff that happens no matter how you love that motor. If you tuck it in bed at night and say your prayers with it, that water pump's still going to fail.
Right. Right.
I overdid that, but I'm sorry.
No, and I'd like to bring it into Alan's shop. So is he located? See, I'm coming from way East Mesa. I'm almost to Apache. I'm at Signal Butte and Brown.
Okay, let me make a suggestion to you. You're going to pass Jerry's Auto, and you're going to pass Thompson's Auto Repair. I want you to go to MarkSalem.com, click on Best Car Repair Shops, click on Mechanical, because your diesel doesn't need anything other than a mechanic shop, and then click Mesa. And you're going to pass two good shops on your way. We're at Warner and I-10, but I'm telling you, you're passing two good shops on your way here. One of them that my mother used.
Really?
Yes, because I told her I'm not going to have you drive 20 miles for an oil change. Go to Jerry's.
There you go.
Okay?
Yeah. Can I ask you one more question?
You sure can.
My son has a 05 Silverado half ton, and with my diesel, we're having the same problem with the back windows rolling down. They don't roll. Now, I have one that's broke. He's got them both. That they're, and I'm thinking, is this a common thing for the GMs, the windows going to the electric windows?
Yeah, actually, yes, it is. It's and it can be a number of different things. We've been working on this actually a lot lately. There's a couple different things you can try. There's updates, usually. We've been updating a lot of the PDMs and the DDMs, which is passenger door module and driver's door module. That usually will take care of about 90% of the problems. Otherwise, the switches go bad, the switches or the regulators. But it's a very common problem with these GMs, especially. We just had a Yukon in here the other day that we did three of the four. It was an 05, as a matter of fact.
And you do that work, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And let me explain what update is, okay? It's no different than your laptop. It's no different than your iPhone. He's going to plug your car into a laptop that has Wi-Fi capabilities within our organization that allows him to access the internet. We have a password and a user where we spend thousands of dollars with GM a year for the privilege of being able to update all the modules, all the computers, the body computer, the transmission computer, the door lock computer, the seat computers, everything. And sometimes that's the last resort. But with the experience that we've had on the back door locks, we're finding, what would you say, 60, 70% of my windows are acting funny in the back are covered with an update?
Yeah. We see it more in front doors, actually, but I'm going to assume that it's the rear doors as well.
Yes, both of them.
All right.
I just wonder if it was a common problem. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I love your show. I listen to it every Saturday.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All righty. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. There's hardly a week that goes by that we or other shops send someone to Quality Transmission, and I'll get a phone call. hey, Mark, I went to Quality. They did a really good job. They're very honest. They're very dependable.
1 minute.
They didn't tell me it'd be ready tomorrow, but then lie to me about it. They were at or under their pricing. And the best part, Mark, is the symptoms I took it in for are gone. That's what car repair is all about. The proper symptoms, the proper diagnosis, the proper repair, and making sure that you come in a penny under your estimate. Those are important considerations. So if you need transmission work, Quality Transmission in Tempe on McClintock between the 202 and University is really where you should try. He's a good guy. He's very honest. And he does my work as well. All righty. Alan and Mark are here. The lines are open. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you have any car questions, now's the time because the lines are wide open. So grab your phone and dial us up, 602-508-0960. This is Mark Salem on 960 The Patriot, KKNT.
Mike.
Well, when they shake their head and say, this ain't good, then it typically ain't good. But nevertheless, we're here to help you wind your way through the minefield of car repair. 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, Alan Salem. We're going to go to Dave first. Dave, you're up first. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. I have a 2005 Toyota Highlander V6. I've got really runs good, except I've got a whine with a low rate of acceleration, primarily around 45 miles an hour.
Okay.
I don't know, is that a serious concern? My wife says she hears it when she first starts out, but her hearing is a whole lot sharper than mine is.
Okay. Really and truly, I can't do noises. Let me give you an example. We had a guy come in the other day that was just, he was sure that his whole truck was falling apart, and it was a dry seal. And so we took a plate off and lubricated the seal with a white lithium grease, not with silicone, but a white lithium grease, and the noise went away. He was tickled pink, and I think the repair was $80. So we need to hear the noise. So I need you to do this. Is the noise related to the speed of the car or the speed of the engine?
Speed of the car.
And does it change when you brake?
I don't hear it at all when I brake.
Okay.
And I don't, if I'm just coasting, I don't hear it. And if I'm accelerating, I don't hear it. It's just when I'm just cruising with barely touching, eggshell touch to the accelerator.
Okay. All right. Where do you live? What part of town are you in?
I live in East Gilbert, right next to Queen Creek over here, way east.
All right. North of you, there's a place at Main Street and Stapley called Thompson's Auto Repair. There isn't any of us that won't go drive the car with you. And the other day I had Eddie, my shop foreman, drive with somebody, and he walked back and said, I know exactly what it is, put it up on the hoist and just fixed it. So a good seasoned guy will know what it is, or at least where to look. Now, he's going to have you drive, and he's going to sit in the passenger seat. Then he wants to drive. Then he may go to the back seat left, back seat right. He wants to identify which corner the car it's coming from. And in a real sophisticated way, we'll put transmitters underneath the four corners of the car, and we listen to them with headphones, and we can tell where the heck the noise is coming from, which corner. So we have lots of sophisticated ways, but I think your 50-50 chance that somebody can drive with you, some gray-haired guy, and say, I know what that is.
Okay.
And Thompson's Auto Repair is the closest one to you. Thompson's or Jerry's, and they're both up on Main Street. One's at Stapley and one's at Sossaman.
Stapley
in Maine.
Thompson, and who is the other one?
Jerry's Auto Service.
Okay.
Yeah, he's at Main Street, Apache Boulevard, and Sossaman.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you very much.
You.
All righty. And Joe, you're up next. Joe, how can we help you?
Our oil attitude's okay. I mean, when you change oil, is it okay to put one in, or aren't they necessary?
All right, let me just change your question. Mark, do you ever use oil additives?
Yes.
And the only time I ever use oil additives is if I have a symptom that I want to fix, and I know the oil additive will take care of it. For instance, if I've got a lawnmower that's just using oil like crazy and fouling the spark plugs, I'm probably going to put some STP in it.
Uh-huh.
But to put something in there because they think you'll make the oil better will oftentimes throw it out of specification. So the oil doesn't like, if it only wants 18% additive and you decide to put a chemical in there with 25% additive, it doesn't like that. So unless you have a symptom, for instance, let's gas is an easier transition. If you have water in the tank, you use an alcohol-based gasoline additive.
Yes.
If you think you have bad injectors, you use an injector cleaner. That should change it, better, worse, or the same. But to put an oil additive in there because somebody tells you that your car will run better or last longer, that's just not true.
Uh-huh. One more question, please. When you get the transmission fluid changed, if there's nothing wrong with the transmission, I guess it's good to change it after so many miles, after so many years. Is it okay to have your regular shop do it, or to have to go, should I go to a transmission specialist? There's no problem with it.
Right. No. You, that's a good, great question. And the answer is any shop can do that. Now,
Yes. Here's
the deal. When the first transmission service, in my opinion, should be around 30 to 40 to 50,000 miles, and I'm going to pull the pan, and I'm going to clean and replace the filter. Because the transmission is going to shed a lot of its oil or a lot of its metal at the very beginning as it polishes all the gears.
Yep.
Now, the next service, let's say you do it at 50, then at 100 or so, I want you to bring it back so I can flush it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to leave the pan alone. I'm not going to open up the pan. I'm going to disconnect the two cooler lines. I'm going to connect this fancy, dancy machine to it, and I'm going to pump in 20 quarts and 20 quarts out. But you're only going to keep 6 or 8.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to use new fluid to flush the old out, give you a whole new batch of fluid. You see, because when I do the pan, I'm only doing 3 of the 8 quarts. But when I do a flush, I do all of them.
Well, mine was done twice in the first 30,000 miles by the original owner.
Okay.
I don't know why. I guess he just liked to go there.
Yeah, no. And how many miles have you got on it now?
58,000.
Oh, you know what? If he did it twice in the first 30,
I'd probably go
to the beginning of next summer and have somebody flush it.
That's
exactly what I do, because you sure as aren't behind the eight ball right now.
No, and I got my good shop over here on Earl. They'll do it. I told him about the golf deal, and he had a big laugh on that.
He can hit a golf ball if his life depended on it. I think I saw a lady the other day in a wheelchair that could probably beat him. You tell him I said that.
I will next time.
All right.
Yeah, they'll drop the pan and change the filter.
Well, if you've already had that twice in the first 30, then don't do that. Let's do the flush and get all the fluid this time.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All righty, Joe, thank you. Bob, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
I have a particular problem today, but I did have a problem a couple of months back on an 86 Nissan. It was an alternator issue, at least that's where the symptoms were, and you had a couple of guests on there, and you told me, well, that's the auto choke relay, and I just wanted to tell you that, yes, it was. I fixed it. I followed your advice, and I just can't thank you enough, because there's no way somebody like me would have ever in the world found that problem. And if I would have taken it to somebody, it would have cost me more than an 86 Nissan truck is worth. And I just once again, I just had to call you back and thank you very much for your help and all the good work you do on your show. But I did have one other question.
Sure.
I can't always get to listen. You know, I learn from everything that you talk about.
Thank you.
But I can't always, it's not always convenient for me to listen. You don't have, like some shows do, they stream it and then they also record it.
Yeah, I do.
For history. Oh, you do?
Yeah, if you go to marksalem.com
okay.
And you go to Media Radio, you'll see an archive. And they're all in MP3s.
Oh, cool.
And you know what else? I cut all the commercials out for you.
Oh.
So they go faster.
Okay. Because I probably have them all memorized.
Yeah. So you just go there, and I do that for
one
the folks
minute.
that can't always listen. But I want to tell you something. When the radio studio is full of a bunch of guys with gray hair, and you come up with that alternator light on an 86 Nissan, everybody's smiling at one another because we've been there, done that. But I want to also tell you that been there, done that means this. Every one of us has put an alternator on that car. And every one of us had the light on after we put the alternator on. Every one of us said, holy mackerel. And we got to with the old gray-haired guys in our generation, and they said, Salem, you stupid idiot, that's the choke relay. And I go, what has it got to do with anything? And he goes, doesn't make any difference. Change the choke relay, the light will go out, the alternator, there's nothing wrong with it. So all of us walk the path. All of us have been bitten by those kinds of things. But thank you for telling me I got one right, because now I'm going to go home and tell my wife that this Saturday really is worth it. So thank you very much. We'll be back right after this.
result of the dream of Henry Ford. Well, now I've got a car that's mine alone. Me and the finance.
Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here at your service, helping you out with your car questions, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my buddy, Kurt Rock. Kurt owns Kurt's Auto Repair. He's up on I-17 and Bell on the east side, north on the north side of the road, east of the I-17, north side of the road. He's been around a long time, has great technicians. They do both gas and diesel work, and their goal is to make you happy. Kurt says, I'm going to do the best I can to get you out of there when you need to be. I'm going to do the best I can to cut every corner I can with pricing. He says, I'm going to get you back on the road quickly, and I'm going to give you a good product, good labor, and good product. I'm going to do my best to make you happy. That's what Kurt says, and he does it. I-17 and Bell, east of the I-17 on the north side of the street, is Kurt's Auto Repair. All right, let's go back to phones, and Doug, you're up next. Doug, how are you?
Hi, pretty good. I've got a 2001 Ford half-ton pickup, and I hear all four speeds of the fan motor run, you know, according to the switch, but I'm getting about probably 30 or 40% less forced air out of the ducts.
Hmm. Yeah, how many miles are on it?
210,000.
200?
This has been going on now for about a year and a half.
Okay. One of the things that I'd be doing, I got to tell you something. Are you sure this is a Ford and it's got 200,000 miles on it? Are you pulling my leg?
No, I'm serious.
Okay, all right. I haven't seen one go that far in a long time. But anyway, I'm just teasing you, of course. More than like, let me ask you another question. Does your wife use the passenger side floorboard as a trash can?
She can't because I don't have one.
Okay. Does your girlfriend?
No. I've got two dogs that shed hair.
Okay, then that's what I'm looking for.
And that might shed some light on it.
Yeah, that's okay. What I'm looking for. I bet you run around in maximum air, AC air, as opposed to just regular swamp cooler stuff where you got to drop your window down, outside air versus inside air. And
right.
Probably the evaporator case is full of hair, so I would pull out the blower motor. And I'd look at the evaporator, and then I'd probably stick a couple of vacuums on the two outer vents, and I'd start sucking hard on those, and then I'd blow through the evaporator with compressed air, and if I can blow that hair mat off the back side of the evaporator, then there's other ways you can do it, but that's the messiest way, but it's the hardest but the cleanest way to deal with a really ugly thing. Another thing, too, is you want to take the blower motor out to make sure that the blower wheel isn't broken. You want to make sure that all the fins are in good shape. And you want to make sure that there's not a Taco Bell wrapper wrapped around the blower wheel, which will affect it. And that's the reason why I say if you use maximum air, recirculatory, it'll suck stuff off the passenger side floorboard up into the evaporator case and cause all kinds of airflow restrictions.
That's what I kind of thought was going on. Now, my next question is, where is the blower motor? I have looked all over creation. And I used to be a shop foreman years ago in dealership, so I know what they look like, and it's not under the hood, and I look behind the glove box, and I don't see a round motor.
Okay, the easiest thing to do is turn the key on and turn the blower on high, and then just start touching, starting inside the car. It could be, and I'm guessing here, because I'm going to trust you that you looked under the hood and you don't see that blower wheel behind the glove box or the back side of the blower motor under the glove. It could be one of those fender-mounted son of a guns where you got to pull the fender off.
Oh boy.
So but you'll be able to find it by touching. So turn it on high, turn
2 minutes.
Don't run the motor and just start touching and feeling and moving your hands around both underneath the dash, from the center of the dash all the way to the passenger door. Just reach your hands up underneath there and stuff, and then do it underneath the hood, but look down there where the antenna is and look down there and see if you can see the back end of that blower motor.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Alan?
The other thing I was going to say, is it possible that vehicle has a cabin filter that may not have been changed?
Well, it's an 01, but that's a good idea. Thank you very much. If you have a bad cabin filter, or if you have a cabin filter in there, then the cabin filter is going to catch the hair. And that's like the filter in your house.
Intake.
It's the intake side of the air conditioning system. And it's a good thing.
Where would that cabin filter be located at?
That's the tough part. Find
one.
It may not have one. It just popped into my mind. It may not have one, but finding them is another story.
That's why
they don't get changed.
First of all, it's very lucrative to sell cabin filters. You'll find out soon enough.
1 minute.
Everybody wants to sell Calvin filters, and they show you the dirty one. Some of them are a breeze. Snap, snap, pull them out, put them in. Some of them take $100 to dig out. That doesn't include the filter. That's the labor. But it is true that Calvin filters are there, and it is true. But for people with dogs with hair like that, or if your wife doesn't, you know, well, if your girlfriend doesn't shave her legs, those kinds of things
that's
are...
That's why I got rid of her.
Thank you for letting us tease you. But anyway, that all you do, here's what you do. You go to the auto parts store, call the auto parts store, and say, do you have a Calvin filter for an 01 Ford F-150? See what they say. And if they say, no, we don't show that application. Do you show one for 02? No, no, we don't. Check 03. Oh, yes, we do. Then you got what you need. Thank you very much. Goodbye. All righty. Good luck. We'll be back in just a few minutes. And, Jack, don't go anywhere because you're first. I'm Mark Salem, 602-508-0960. Well, welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock every Saturday from 10 to 12. We're here answering your car questions. And Monday through Friday and nights and weekends, you can email me. You can't text me, but you can email me at mark@marksalem.com. Mark with a K at marksalem.com. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Phoenix Body Works. Greg May, the owner, he's going to be your advocate when you have an insurance claim. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free and insurance company friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies, and they're not going to feed you to the wolves. Greg's going to make sure your car is put back together the right way, on time, at an affordable price, with quality parts. He's your advocate, nobody else's advocate. It's important to repair your car to its pre-accident condition. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for several years, and I've heard nothing but great things from his very happy and satisfied customers. I'm really proud to have Greg on my best car repair shops list. He serves Anthem, New River, and North Phoenix area. He's at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley, and he's there Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 and a half a day on Saturday. Don't forget Phoenix Body Works, the best body shop around. Alrighty. Beep, 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 beep. Do we have a... Doug. Doug, there's an important information coming your way. Doug. Doug with the old Ford half-ton truck that he says has 200,000 miles on it, but I've never seen a Ford do 200. But, Alan, what did you find out? Basic stuff. Does he have a filter or not?
I Googled it in the break there. It appears that it was Ford offers a kit that can be added, so maybe along the line someone added that, and you may have it. I didn't get a chance to look at location, but... it appears it is an option and could possibly have one.
And that's because the Salem boys know how to use their iPhones, right?
Yeah.
All righty. Jack, you're up next. Jack, what can we do for you?
Mark, this is Jack in Mesa. How are you?
Jack, good. Better than the average bear, buddy.
Hey, it's a long time coming. I owe you a big thank you. 9 years ago, we had a Dodge, and my shop that I go to all the time on a transmission, the bill was enormous, and you turned me on to a shop, which I won't mention because you don't recommend them anymore.
Thank you.
But the previous owners who owned that shop, they saved us over $2,200. It was just a module on the transmission.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you very much for bringing that up. And for those of you, you don't ever want to have a private conversation in front of a whole bunch of people because they're not in the loop. But there used to be a transmission shop that I used to recommend. And the transmission shop was sold. And I broke one of my own rules because I insist that the new owner have 5 years of experience. And this young man didn't. There was some significant problems. I had to drop the transmission from my referral network. But they were because they're no longer run by the two old gray-haired guys that
right.
I've known since the 70s. But there are lots of good stories like that. But thank you very much for bringing that up. I thank you.
I do want to say one thing though. I'm a proud owner of a Dodge Ram, 2005, 230,000 miles, and it's running. And I've been lucky. I'm taking it to quality transmission. Because my shop, they can do everything. But you know what? I want someone who knows what they're doing and check it out. And okay. I want to keep this truck as long as I can with the economy the way it is. I have quite a few trucks. But for some reason, this 2005 Hemi engine in it, it just runs and runs and runs.
Yeah. And you're right. Alan sits next to me, and he has a Dodge. And he won't sell it to me But when he does decide to step up, I'm going to step into his Dodge because I love his truck. Plus, it sounds better than mine. It runs better than mine. And the last time we were on the 202 together in the middle of the night, he waxed my tail end, and that really bothers me. So, and he's got a diesel, and he's only got six cylinders. I got a diesel, I got eight cylinders. And I mean, my truck is a stump pulling one ton Chevy pickup truck with a, but his just continues to beat me. But he won't tell me what he did to it to make it faster, but I'll know once I buy it.
Well, one thing, Mark, you got quality transmission is so booked. I mean, just to get in for basic, you know, look over and a service, he's slammed. I mean, I was a little shocked. I was hoping to get it in already this week, but I have to wait over a week just to get it in.
Now, just over at 40th Street in Washington, I've got automatic transmission exchange. Phil over there has been around as long as Mike and Leon were from before, and Bob. So if you need it sooner, go over to Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th and Washington. It won't hurt, but hurts Bob's feeling. Him and Phil are good buddies. And not only are they good buddies, that Bob said, why don't you see if Phil wants to come into our group? So they're that close. So if you need service quick, go to Automatic
Transmission. I don't have anything wrong with it. It's just I'm coming into my peak time of workload, and I just don't want to flush done it again. I want my linkage and everything checked out professionally.
I understand. Well, thank you, Jack. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call.
Oh, keep doing what you're doing.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you. Melanie, you're up next. Melanie, how can I help you?
Okay, I have a 2000 RAV4, and I didn't know it at the time, but my transmission went bad, so I ended up going to the car dealership, whatever. He puts in a brand-new transmission,
okay.
And this really is a good car mechanic. But then when I go home, you know, do my errands, run around after I pay my bill, my car starts, it almost died and starts funking noise and stuff. So I go home, I said, honey, you got to look under the engine. So he checks the oil gas, and the transmission fluid was totally gone. And now, would that do damage to my car, or would that hurt me in any way?
There's two trains of thought, and you'll know soon enough once you put fluid in it, fix the leak. But
right.
But let me tell you something that one of the old wizards said to me one time. He said, Mark, the transmission is a hydraulic unit. It needs pressurized fluid in which to operate. There comes a time where the car won't move because it doesn't have fluid, so it's very difficult to damage the car, the transmission on the car, unless you sit there and rev it so much and so high that you burn the clutches to get across the intersection. You didn't do that.
No.
Okay.
I had it towed in to the mechanic because I didn't want to hurt it any more than it already was.
Okay. You make sure that the mileage on this work order has got the right mileage. You make sure that there's a complete description of what happened.
Okay.
I want to know what happened. Well, I left the cooler line loose, and as a result of that, it pumped all 10 quarts out onto the ground, and it's my responsibility. I put fluid in it, but I also want to put you at ease in that you'll know in the first 2 weeks. If there's a problem, you'll know it. If you make it through the first 2 weeks and everything is hunky-dory, then I think you dodged a bullet.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Melanie. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Mike, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm hearing you talk a lot about filters, and so I'm wondering, I've got a old one Dodge Ram van, 1500 with 110,000 on it, and I'm wondering, knowing that a lot of these fuel filters are buried in the gas tank, now what? Go ahead.
You're right. That was one of the best decisions that any car maker has ever made is let's put the fuel filter in the gas tank so the replacement of the fuel filter and all the labor can cost $300 or $400. Let's not hang it outside the fuel pump where the filter's $60 and the labor's $30. Let's put it inside. However, for whatever reason, and I'm allowed to tease Dodge, it has turned out to be something where I don't know if we've maybe done one car over the last 10 years where we literally had to pull the tank to replace the filter. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't know exactly what their engineering idea was. I don't know if that filter is filtering every single drop of fuel or every other drop or every half a gallon out of a gallon. I don't know how efficient that filter is being used. But while it sounds like a stupid idea, and it is a stupid idea, it hasn't caused most of my customers any grief. And in your case, let me ask you this. Have you done a fuel pump on that yet?
A fuel pump? Uh-huh. No, I don't think so.
Okay, you're way past due. You're just way past due. And it's a gas motor, right? It's a gas motor.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if I were you, if the first hint of I can't go faster than I'm given throttle, but it's not going any faster than it was, then I would go ahead and do the tank and do the filter at the same time, and that'll give you another 100,000 miles of trouble-free driving. But you're really overdue. You've been around the world 4 times, you know? So yeah, that you let's not lose sight of 100,000 miles is a lot. I mean, that's 25,000 miles around the girth of the earth, so you've gone 4 times. And how many shifts is that? A million?
Yeah, it's been a good vehicle.
Yeah, they are. I got to tell you, Dodge is a good vehicle. All righty, Mike.
Thanks much.
Thank you very much. Jim, you're up next. Jim, how are you today?
We lost Jim.
Okay, all right. Alan, what did you want to say? You had a text there, and somebody said something about the filter, the twin filters on diesels.
No, it wasn't a twin. We had one the other day come in on a Dodge that had a product called a lifetime oil filter that was kind of interesting. We learned a little bit about it. He had a... It's all aluminum, titanium, all kinds of fancy metal that is a cleanable filter. It's got a pre-screen and then a major screen and then a pre-screen. I believe if I'm not, my numbers could be a little off. I want to say it was 40 micron and 20 micron. This truck had 14,000 miles on. I saw it with my own eyes. This
diesel.
Is not diesel.
Diesel.
I saw it with my own eyes. When we pull off, my guys wear white gloves, so we always, with diesel, you pour the diesel fluid, the diesel oil in, and it's almost immediately black. You turn over the vehicle, it's almost immediately black.
Right.
This truck, after 14,000 miles, had they always compare it on the same white gloves. They wipe it on their glove, and they see how dark the oil is. And this thing, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is what it's coming out of the jug, 10 is where it's been in there, black. This was probably about a 5, 4 or a 5. So it was kind of like a burnt honey. We made the decision at that point to, we cleaned the filter, put a quart of oil back in it, send them down the road. And I was comfortable with that.
Okay.
And it was kind of an interesting observation that we saw. It was kind of a neat product that what we saw.
Okay. Now, your 40 and your 20 microns, at the ranch, we have all of our water wells.
Yep.
And I'm filtering the water that goes through the water softener, goes through the RO system, and goes into the ranch house at 20 microns.
Okay.
So we're drinking water that's already been filtered by 20 microns. And keep in mind that talc powder, one little dot of talc powder, is less than 20 microns. And on the other well down at the barn, I'm doing 40 because it's a dirty well, and I'm bringing up a lot of rust because the down tube is rust. I'm doing a 40 and then dropping to a 30 or 20,
20
40
yeah.
and a 20.
Right.
So this guy had a diesel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this cleanable, fancy dancy filter.
Yeah.
And
it's something that actually we can get now. I've kind of opened up that line. We don't sell a lot of them. They're very expensive. The material to make it's a really neat deal. We've installed a couple of them. It's called a lifetime oil filter is the brand name, but I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I probably wouldn't have believed it.
All right. So real quick, what did you charge him to service that cleanable oil filter?
I don't recall, but I believe it was $45 to pull it off clean. We rinse it from, you got to run, rinse. It's about a 10 piece filter. It's got the bypass and the ball and all that kind of stuff. And we rinse it out from the inside out. And then added, that's just, pull it off and clean it and put it back together, and then about a quart of oil too.
Okay, so you went, you take it apart, no two parts are touching, in the solvent tank. From there you go to the water tank, you clean it all up with water, then you dry it off with either compressed air or clean towels, then you put it, reassemble it, and put it back in.
Correct.
Okay, how much is a regular oil filter for that same truck?
$10.
Okay, all right.
$10-$12.
Okay, all right. Okay, there you have it. Again, our email, you can get to both of us at mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. I want to remind you that it's a good idea to shop any kind of auto repair bill that's in the $300 or $400 or $500 range. It's important that you find out what it is you're buying. What exactly are you going to do? And then they're going to tell you. And this is how you should sound when you talk to the next shop. I have a Dodge van, and I have a pull to the left, and he tells me that he needs to replace the differential fluid. So would you tell me what your diagnostic fee would be, and would you tell me how much you would charge me for my service? The other shop may say to you, I don't understand the relationship between the front pulling to the left and him wanting to change the differential fluid, but I'll tell you, the diagnostic is $75 to $125, and the differential service is going to be $75. So I can bid those two separately, but I don't understand how he got from A to B. Or they may very well just give you a good price. But it's important that you're bidding apples for apples, and it's not harmful at all to ask for specifics. So you say, exactly, send me an email with exactly all the parts and all the labor, and give me a total. That's not an uneventful, that's not unusual for people to ask that. Please wear your seatbelts, please don't drink and drive, and thank you, veterans, for our safety and our lives.